serving the Lord. If I had it to do all over again, I'd serve Jesus every day of my life. And there may be some young people in here, young person in here, that is thinking about serving the Lord. It's not easy. It's not easy. But let me tell you something. The most rewarding thing it is to know that if you, that's what God has for you to do. You're walking in God's will. And in His way. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. And I speak from almost 50 years of in being in the Lord's service. There have been some rough times, there have been some difficult times, but through it all, the Lord has been with us every step of the way. Now, is this one working, or this one? The pulpit? Okay, I can stay here. I like to move, but I can stay here if that's what's necessary. I would ask you to turn this evening to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And we're going to read a few verses, very familiar portion of Scripture. And we pick up our reading, please, at verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting, and you find that word sitting again, while he was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate then said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Father, with thy word open before us, speak, Lord, to our hearts this evening. O God, cause us to understand and realize that there are decisions that need to be made, especially those, Father, who do not know the Lord Jesus, that this will be their night of decision. Bless your word to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit guide and lead and direct in every aspect, we pray. In the Lord Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We make decisions every day of our lives. We decide in some things it comes automatically. Well, we've got to do this, 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 and this today. Or we decide, well, we cannot do this and we cannot do that, but we must prioritize what we have to do. But we make decisions. Some are small decisions, some are big decisions. One of the biggest decisions a young person can make and should make and take time to make is to get married. Who should I marry? Of course, if you are a believer, you should marry a believer. Whether I should go to college or not, what should be my career? Should I change my career? Should I do something different? We're faced with decisions every day. But the greatest decision that we'll ever be faced is what Pilate asked the question here. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? You'll notice he referred to him as Jesus, which was his earthly name, and Christ, the anointed one, Messiah. Whether or not he really believed that, I do not know. But at that moment he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And that's a question that every person in this world has to face one day or another. Pilate had to face it. And so do you. You may have come to this meeting because you wanted to hear the good singing. That's a good reason to come. The singing has been great. I like singing. I like to sing myself. But now you're here and the Word of God says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that question goes out to you tonight, my friend. What will you do with Jesus? There's a song that I hardly ever hear sung anymore. In fact, one of the choir master at one of the churches in Marsh Harbor said to me, do you have the music for this song? And I said, I believe I do. The first verse says, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth this sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? I was able to find the music, and he thanked me so much. He even made copies, as you gave just enough for my choir. Praise the Lord for that, you know, be able to help someone else. But let me tell you something, that's a very solemn song. Pilate says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want to think with you of Pilate and think about what some things about him this evening. Number one, I want you to think of the dilemma that he faced. Pilate was in a big dilemma. Here was Jesus of Nazareth, as he referred to him, Jesus the called Christ. Here was this one who Pilate knew all about because his fame had spread through the land. He is the one that made blind eyes to see. He is the one that made lame people walk. He is the one that made the deaf to hear. He cleansed the leper. He healed the sick. And no doubt Pilate had heard some of the wonderful works that Jesus had done. He'd even raised the dead. And so Pilate understood that he had before him someone that was different. He said, do you say nothing? As the accusations were made and the Lord Jesus remained silent. The Bible says that Pilate marveled. In John records that Pilate said to him, do you not know that I have authority to hold you, to kill you, to release you? He says, do you not know, the Lord Jesus said, you would have no authority except my Father gives it to you from heaven. And so he reminded him that the real authority lay not with the Roman governor, nor with Caesar, but with God in heaven. And so Pilate was really in a dilemma. The scripture describes, of course, as we know, the Lord Jesus was no ordinary man. You only have to read the Gospel of John. On Tuesday night, during the week of kids' crusade we had in Marsh Harbor, we're reaching young people and boys and girls, and praise God, an adult came to know the Lord, a 61-year-old grandmother. And one of the things I said to her in talking with her afterwards, I said, I want you to take time and prayerfully read through the Gospel of John several times. Don't read anything else. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the Gospel of John. We know how it begins. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And throughout the Gospel of John, which emphasizes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see throughout that marvelous gospel, John only takes 7 of the miracles of Jesus that he did, and he calls them signs. John also has the 7 I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning in chapter 6 and verse 35, where he said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. In chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. We know the 7 I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the one that Pilate spoke about. He is no ordinary man. He is the man Christ Jesus. He is the God-man. The Lord Jesus could look at the religious leaders one day in chapter 8, and he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they reached down and grabbed the stones to stone him because they knew exactly what he said. I had some time ago, one of these people who spout forth on television and preach what they think the Word of God is saying and not what God's Word is saying, made a statement. He said, "Jesus told me when he was upon earth, he never claimed to be God." Well, I don't know what he was tuned into, but he wasn't tuned into the Scriptures, into the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And you see him in total, as we said, total and complete control over disease. You read the Gospels, it says that he healed them all. When they came to him, he healed them all. He had total control over demons. The demons said, "We know who you are." They recognized him. He had total control over disturbances of nature. The disciples came to him in the boat that was filling with water. He said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord Jesus looked at them and said, "Oh, you have little faith." And he stood up and he rebuked the wind. He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a sweet, beautiful calm over the lake. And he has complete control over death. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the one of whom Pilate spoke. "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" The person that was before him. Part of his dilemma, the problem that he faced. Here was Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood before him, and the crowd was crying out, and the priests and the religious leaders and the scribes, they were agitating for his death. Pilate had heard. And the Scripture says that he knew for envy they had delivered him. He had come out to the crowd, and three times over he said, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man." He was saying, in effect, what a judge would say today, "Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty." Yet, this was what the people wanted. Pilate thought, "Well, I offer them a solution. We've got a rascal. We've got a terrible man in custody right now. His name is Barabbas. I'm going to offer them a choice." This was something, as the Scripture says, they were accustomed to do at that time. So we're going to give them a very clear choice. I'm going to ask, which of these two do you want? Jesus or Barabbas? Barabbas or Jesus? Called Christ. Think of the two. Barabbas, the Scripture says, was a thief. His whole life was, "I'm going to take from you even if I have to kill you to get it." He was a thief. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one who gave. He says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He gave. He gave. Barabbas was a murderer. The Lord Jesus Christ gave life. On three occasions, we know, that are recorded, he raised Jairus' daughter, age 12. The widow of Nain's son, and of course the most notable would have been the raising of Lazarus 4 days after he had died. And this also triggered the desire to crucify him by the religious leaders. Barabbas was an insurrector. The Lord Jesus Christ is a submissive one. He says, "I came to do thy will, O God. For this cause came I into the world." And the Scriptures tells us, as was quoted this morning from Philippians chapter 2, Beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, something to be grasped at, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Barabbas was evil and wicked. The scripture says the Lord Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Barabbas was a selfish man. His whole life was built around himself. The Lord Jesus was unselfish. And he was always reaching out to others. Barabbas was a liar. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Barabbas was always hurting. The Lord Jesus was healing. What a choice. Some of you are saying, well, how could the people ever choose Barabbas? But let me say something, friend. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're choosing your Barabbas. You've chosen the devil. The Lord Jesus said you can only serve one of two masters. If you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're serving the devil. If you're not on your way to heaven, you're on your way to hell. There's no other way. You're going one way or the other. There's no middle road that you can walk down and or walk with one foot going towards heaven and one foot going towards hell. You're either going in one direction or the other. There's no third road or middle road. And so Pilate brings him out. Now which of the two? Barabbas is there with a sneer on his face, his eyes filled with venom and hate. And Jesus is there. And he says nothing. Perhaps the spit that they put upon him is hardened on his face. A crown of thorns upon him. Which of the two? You have a choice. And to Pilate's utter horror, the people's choice. You know, you hear about the people's choice? The people's choice was the wrong choice. But of course we know in God's reckoning, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross, but the people still made the wrong choice. And the crowd, young people, you're going along with the crowd. Let me tell you something. It was the crowd that cried out, away with him. We want Barabbas. We'd rather have the murderer. We'd rather have the insurrector, the liar, the cheat. We'd rather have him than the one who gives life, the one who heals, the one who helps, the one who loves. We want Barabbas. And so comes the question. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What shall I do with him? The answer comes back with a ringing roar. Crucify him. Away with him. Friend, let me tell you something. If you're still on the broad road that leads to the lake of fire, let me tell you, friend, you're saying the same thing. I don't want Jesus. Another passage they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Give us Barabbas. Pilate had a dilemma. But there were also distractions that he faced during this time. There were several distractions. I want to just mention a few of them. First of all, there was a distraction of family ties. In the same passage, his wife sends to him and says, have nothing to do with that just man. I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. He gets a warning from his wife. You better not bother with this man. Don't do it. I have suffered. You notice the selfish motive. I have suffered. When self is always in the place, it'll always be the I. Don't do it. And sometimes people say to you, don't accept Christ as your personal Savior, you know, because I don't want to lose you as a friend. I don't want you to do this. It's a selfish motive. And so Pilate, when he faced that decision, he had that note that was passed to him, that was handed to him, that message that was handed to him. Have nothing to do with this just man. I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. And oh, how sad it is that people are on the broad road, have so many people who are hindering them and telling them, don't do it. Don't do it. Is that your problem, young man? Is that your problem, young lady? Don't do it! Maybe there's some of the crowd that's laughing at you. Are you going to that conference meeting tonight? You're going to church? Well, let me tell you something. They can laugh you right into hell, but they can't laugh you out. You'll never be laughed out. There was the influence of the fanatical religious leaders. Pilate knew that these were formidable foes. He knew that there was for envy. Pilate understood what was going on, and he tried his best to get out of it. And when project or his plan he put before them failed, then he doesn't know what to do. And the priests, and they're going through the crowd, and they're agitating the crowd, and they're working them up into a frenzy. The Bible tells us in Luke 23, in verse 23, it says, and they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Fanatical religion. There are many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are dying at this very moment because of fanatical religion. Not just Islam. There's a rising tide in India of Hindus who are murdering Christians. Buddhism. Rising tide, particularly in Sri Lanka and other places like that. Fanatical religion. And so they cried out. The sad part about it is this. That it's religion. It's something that man has manufactured. It's not the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And even today, even in the so-called church, there are those who, if they could, they would eliminate the Lord Jesus Christ from every aspect of church. They want their own religion. What Paul said in Romans chapter 10 of the Jewish people can be said even in Christendom. I use that term. Paul said that, I have a desire to see my brethren, the Jews, saved. They go about establishing their own righteousness and not knowing that God has already provided a righteousness for them through Messiah Jesus Christ. And so there was fanatical religion. The Bible tells us again, chief priests persuaded the multitude that they should seek Barabbas and crucify Jesus. How many people are religious but lost? One of the experiences I had when I went to the Holy Land, this was some years ago, we were in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And during that time, you know, there are different religious orders that have different parts of, you have the Greek Orthodox, the Russian, and the Roman Catholic, and so on. And I don't know which group it was, but they came out for, we were there during a time of service. Believe you me, I my heart got heavy. Because I looked into the eyes of those who were carrying out this particular religious rite. I looked into their faces and I looked into their eyes and my heart became heavy. And I said, you know something? I don't see any joy there. Is there any reality there? And several people in our group said the same thing. We left with heavy hearts. Oh, listen. The Christian faith is a faith of joy. Because when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friends, the Bible tells us you're going to have the joy of salvation. Christian life is not a drudgery. Mind some of us, the way we go around, it looks that way. Some of us have long faces and you know, let me tell you something. When you have the scripture says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when you've got the joy of the Lord, you're going to rejoice. Have a smile on your face, a spring in your step. Even if you've got a leg that's gimpy, you're going to have some kind of a spring because the Lord is there. Religion. It was the influence of the frenzied crowd. They were crying out, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! There was an influence of friendship. If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. So Pilate had all of these voices crying, all of these things influencing him. And sad to say, the devil puts all kinds of influences upon unsaved people. You see, the scripture describes the unsaved person. If you're here tonight, let me tell you something. It describes you as being in the kingdom of darkness. Not light. In darkness. In Ephesians, it tells us who know the Lord. It says, now are you light in the Lord, but you once were darkness. In the book of Colossians, the scripture tells us that he takes us, that when we accept Christ, we are transported out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And the devil will battle every step of the way to keep you from coming to Christ. Every step of the way. And so he will use the influence of friendship, the influence of family ties, the influence of fanatical religion, the influence of a frenzied crowd. And like we said earlier, the people's choice was Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Who do you want tonight? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you committed your life to Him? Have you realized that He is the one who went to that cross? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, it says how that Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried and that the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. The death of Christ for our sins. And on that cross, as we've heard already, it was one sin that plunged the world into chaos. But on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins. We sometimes sing, all thy sins were laid, all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. And praised God, believing we are free. The Lord Jesus Christ on that cross bore all our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And that's spiritual healing. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he went to that cross. That's why he was willing. As the song says, I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call 10,000 angels. Remove these nails from my hands that torment me. Had it not been for the place called Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for the man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Friend, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ took your place and took your punishment. Peter says Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And it was for you, for me, that he went to that cross. But that did not absolve Pilate from his decision. Pilate made a decision. The decision that he made. He took that basin of water and he washed his hands. He says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Can you imagine the judge doing that? I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Pontius Pilate made a decision. He understood. He realized, he had said three times that the prisoner is not guilty. He says he's a just person. He called, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And yet he said, all right, you see to it. But my friend, let me tell you something. You cannot put the blame for where you are tonight. And when you, if you go out into this, out of this world into a lost eternity, you cannot put the blame on anyone else. You've made the decision to reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You make that decision, and you're responsible for it, and you'll stand before him one day. But you know, you don't have to do that. Because the wonderful news is this, that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Good people, not religious people, sinners. Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for you. The question is this, will you accept him? Will you receive him? Pilate wanted to save his position, but you know the destiny we understand about him. It was not long after this he lost his reputation. He was not an impartial judge in this, but one day he will stand before the Lord Jesus, the one who he tried to wash his hands of, and Pilate will stand before the judge of all the earth, and Pilate will stand before him and hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. Pilate not only lost his position, he lost his soul. He lost his life. Tradition or some areas say that he actually committed suicide. But let's stop thinking of Pilate. Let's focus on who's here tonight. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? That's the greatest decision that you will ever make. Some of you may have heard of a tragic accident, I think four weeks ago. A young man, 26 years of age, he had a motorbike accident. He didn't die immediately. He died before they could get him to Nassau. 2 weeks to the day they had his funeral, he went forward and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. 2 weeks after he did that, less than 2 weeks, he was called into eternity. And they could rejoice in that he had made that decision 2 weeks to the day he was buried. He had accepted Christ. What if that had been you? The question is asked to you again. What then will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with him? One of two choices. I will receive him, or I will say no to him. If you say, well, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to put it off, you know what you're saying? No. No. The end of Brother Sam's message last night, an old song came to me. It says, oh, why not tonight? Do not let the word depart. Why not get saved tonight? I'm going to ask that we bow our heads. Christians, keep before the Lord in prayer during this time. But what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be, for someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Is there someone here tonight? And you would say, tonight, I am going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Keep your heads bowed and keep in prayer. If there's someone here that would like to do that, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and say, Brother David, this is what I'm going to do with Jesus. I'm going to receive him. Is there someone? Now, putting your hand up does not save, but it indicates a need. And there are those of us who would love to sit with you after this service and with the open scriptures and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. We'd love nothing better. Nothing better. Is there someone before we pray, sing a song? Anyone? Oh, I know there's a battle going on. The devil is battling every step of the way to hinder you from accepting the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus is standing here, and he's saying to you tonight, I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life. Will you receive me? Will you accept me? Is there someone? Let's sing that chorus of that song Brother Willie sang so beautifully. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I'm going to close in prayer and give thanks for the food. But if you are concerned about your soul, don't leave. Don't move. Speak to someone. You know someone who you can speak to. Say, tonight I want to accept Christ. Or maybe you've done so. Maybe you are a professed believer, but you've been away from the Lord. It's time to get back to the Lord. It's time to get back on that wonderful road of walking with Jesus. Will you do it tonight? Father, how we thank thee for thy precious word. And Lord, this very important question, may it ring in the souls of each person here, especially, Father, those that are still in nature's darkness, still blinded in their minds by Satan to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. O God, tonight, may the words of Pilate's question burn in their hearts. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? May they not be neutral, but may they accept him, receive him. We thank you, our Father, that you said in your word, but as many as received him, to them he gives the power, the right, or the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. May this be the decision, dear ones, in this congregation will make. And Father, for those that have professed faith in the Lord, but they are not living for the Lord, we pray that you touch their hearts and there'll be healing and restoration in their souls tonight. We pray this, Father, as we commend ourselves to you. And for the food that has been provided, we ask your blessing upon it. Those that are working out very hard, those that are in the kitchen, those that are serving tables, we thank you for each one. And bless us as we partake of the food in our Savior's precious, precious name. Amen.